All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Eye in the Office Hours for the month of September 2020. It's been one of those years that forgetting what the year is. So I'm here to support you in whatever way you need support in supporting your clients. And whether it's a clinical question, whether it's a marketing question, or just, you know, something that you need support around, I'm here to support you. And as you know, my passion is to help people to get well and to teach practitioners to be those practitioners of the future that Thomas Edison talked about ages ago, right? The doctor of the future, right? These are what we are. We are the future. The future is now. And what he predicted the doctor of the future is we are the practitioners. You know, some of you are doctors, some of you aren't. But we are those practitioners of the future, and we need to be available for people. People are in a place right now where they're scared. There's a lot of stress going on. And right now there's fires on top of a pandemic. There are hurricanes, fires, pandemic. Like, what other disasters can we add to the mix? I'm sure, you know, the plague of crickets and bugs invading places might be next. So people need us now more than ever, totally need us now more than ever. So how can I support you in supporting them so that we can create a more harmonious, peaceful, and joyful planet, which is what we all want. So how can I support you? Michelle. Unmute.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed as always. I wanted to share with everyone, if you guys have teenagers, we have an upcoming International Teen Summit.
Whoa.
Yeah, and we have people from all over the world, literally, that are coming in as practitioners. A lot of them are actually in the health field, and we have Michelle Melendez. She's joining us to do one on fitness, and Maria Horseman is joining us, and Lynn is going to be there also.
Awesome.
So they are just three of over 25 people that are going to be presenting different workshops for our teens, because as you know, I'm very concerned that our teenagers are going through a lot. You know, even my teens, my daughter, her school that she was intending to go to, they closed permanently, as in shut. Yeah, because financially they weren't able to sustain. And so, you know, I have no idea of how many other universities or small colleges are going to end up closing because they can't. You know, a lot of them were hanging on a shoestring as it was. And now with all of the interestingness, they're not getting the students. And for the bigger universities, the students are going in and they're having such a horrible experience, you know, where they're literally confined to their rooms, they're temperature checked every 5 seconds, they're encouraged to snitch on each other. So there's a lot of increase in anxiety and depression. Sure. And suicide. Sure. So if any of you have teenagers that they just want to have fun, they want to interact with some other teens, they want to go through some really great workshops, we're even going to have NFL players.
Put it in the chat. Put the link in the chat. Okay. And post it to the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So,
does anyone know about Facebook? Because I've been having a darn time with Facebook. At first it turned into Korean, so I couldn't understand what the heck was going on with my Facebook. And then I got locked out of it. But to get into it, you have to go through all kinds of gobbledygook, which literally is gobbledygook because it's in Korean.
In Korean. So, oh my God.
I have not been able to get into my Facebook.
You're on just one device? Because I was going to say maybe it's a language setting on that device. So
I've tried other devices and it's like my account is completely screwed over. So if anybody has any ingenuity in terms of that, I would greatly appreciate it.
I mean, I've been shut down before, and you know, and then I come back, but it's not in Korean. So all I have to do is answer the questions, and they make you identify some, is this one of your, what's this person's name? I'm like, I don't know. And they show you your friends anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, put it in here. And if somebody, put the link in here, if somebody will, somebody be well, Jill, would you be willing to post that in the NEPT and INE Facebook groups for Michelle, since she can't get in there?
Please help me.
You, Jill, okay, unmute yourself. It doesn't allow me to unmute. It only allows me to ask.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on my phone. So can I copy it? I see it there.
Yeah. Just copy it in.
It's just internationalteamleadershipsummit.com. Totally unoriginal, but
it works. The clearer it is, this is what all of us need to know. The clearer your website name is and the easier it is to say in words. It's cool to have all these cool acronyms and stuff, but people walk away and go, I don't know what she said, but internationalteamleadershipsummit.com, it's long, it's clear. The words are normal. There's no, like, how do you spell international? How do you know what I mean? It's, yeah, so it's
I was just having problems trying to come up with something gimmicky that wasn't already taken, so I was like, oh.
No, the gimmicky stuff, you know, gimmicky doesn't work, really. I mean, we need to name our programs what they are, right? And it can be a name that maybe inspires, intrigue, but to name it something that is like, huh, what the heck is that? That's not, you know, something like we're having a new membership thing. We're taking some of our stuff, putting it out there for our clients, and it's called Empowered Self-Care Lab, right? And that's like, wow, I wonder what that is. What's an empowered self? But it creates intrigue, not like it's the, you know, XYZ blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go, huh? What is that, right? Empowered Self-Care Lab. That sounds quite interesting. Let me tell me more. So come up with names that make sense because, and can be spelled easily. My name is a bear. To spell my name, it's like, even when I spell it, people are getting the Z's and the V's and it's a bear. So, and then if I do Dr. Rita Marie, then there's two R's and they want to know, is it two R's? Really? Is it Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R or is it D-R? So, right, really you want something that's so clear, right? Michelle is a tough first name. Is it Michelle with one L or two? You know, there's always those things. And if ever there is a question like that and you got michellegamble.com or drmichellegamble.com, I would get both. I would get both spellings just in case. Mm-hmm. Just because people are going to spell it wrong, right? They're going to go, I have Dr. Rita Marie, D-O-C-T-O-R. Doesn't solve the double R problem, but at least it's like if they do go there, it automatically redirects, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's this whole naming of things is tough because we want to be cute and we want to be sexy, and then people don't remember what it is, so.
Oh, and Martha's going to be there with her karate team.
Oh, cool. Very fun. It sounds like an awesome thing. I can invite my son to play music for them.
Please. We have a talent segment. So we're looking
really? He's talent. 22, yeah. So he's not a teenager anymore, but he's an awesome musician.
Yeah, we're looking for
Shine.
Yeah.
What's that?
He played at Shine for us.
Right? He played at Shine, right. Yeah. And he's got, you know, he writes his own stuff and you know, he loves playing and he's,
oh, we would love to have him.
He would be inspiring for the teenagers.
Yeah.
He's just a little older and he's very encouraging.
Please.
Okay. I will just,
we're looking for that age group also for like moderators to link up with other speakers and to bridge the gap.
I'll
like us and the young runarounds.
Do you need many more of those, Michelle?
Yeah, we need lots of teens and moderators. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The more the merrier.
Okay. I'll let him know. Because I've seen him with, he does lessons for kids and, you know, they're just not that much younger than him, but he's just so patient and supportive. He was teaching before COVID shut the school down, but he was teaching in an after school program and teaching them guitar and piano and music. But then they said, oh, do you want to also teach them, you know, Legos or robotics or whatever it was that he had no, so he just learned it so he could teach them. So he kind of likes the teaching part. I'll put I'll send him the link to this and I should send him to you. What's the best way for him to reach you?
Email is fine. I'll put it in.
Put it in there. And then I could give you his if you want to I don't know how he feels about it. Okay, I'll just email you his. I'll do an email intro. How about that?
Yeah. In terms of our practitioner stuff, I wanted to know, when you have seniors, like much older people.
Not a senior anymore, right? It used to be seniors were anybody over 60 or 65. No, I mean like, and I'm like,
85.
No, seniors are over 85 or 90.
Yeah, she's over 85. And she's like, every little thing is very overwhelming for her. And yet there's so many things going on. So my approach with her has been less is more, you know, kind of situation, which is just basically trying first to get her to clear up some of her foods and to just do a shake each day. And so I was wondering, is that too little? Because I just didn't want to overwhelm her. Because
no, I will tell you. And things no, like that. Yeah, absolutely not. Tony, our beloved Tony, will do stuff like, okay, we're going to start with hydration. Here's what I want you to do. Here's why water's important, blah, 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 blah. And then she sends them on their way. And when they come back in the next visit, they go, so how are you doing with your hydration? And they'll go, okay, so here's what we have to do. And she'll just keep doing hydration until they get it right. So it's super important, because what happens is people get caught in the, what's the special herb and what's the special meditation? And then they forget about the basics. So we have to keep reinforcing the basics and really good food choices. And if you're giving somebody who's been 85 years of, you know, poor food choices, they don't get it. They don't get the importance. It's going to go slow. So just some basic foods and hydration. I mean, make sure for hydration, because a lot of them don't want to drink because they're afraid they're going to pee, right? They're afraid they're going to have bladder leakage, correct? Right? So it's like, I actually talked to a guy, 78 years old. He's been doing private coaching and group coaching with us for about 4 months. It was his last call. And I'm like, going through the checklist. How's it going with your water? Because he was saying something and I'm like, huh? Let me ask you some questions. Oh, about prostate and irritation. I said, how much water do you drink? He goes, I said, you're drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces, right? He goes, oh my God, no. He actually said it. Oh my God, no, I'd be peeing all day long. I said, it'd be hard to do. I'm like, here's how I do it. You see this? This is 64 ounces. You see this? This is 32. Add them together. This is how much water you drink for the day. I usually drink this much and I'm half your size. So this is what you need. And he was like, I had overlooked that. I mean, we had said it, of course, at the beginning, but because we were getting into reading his genes and looking at his labs and doing all this fancy stuff, I hadn't really reinforced with him. I just assumed he was doing it because he had been in sweet spot before. You know, I just assumed. So we can't assume. And that's why I've rearranged it. I'm happy to share with you guys how I've done it, but I've rearranged a lot of the resources we have in our ERC and into this new membership called the Empowered Self-Care Lab. And I've done it in a way that it's like, here's what you got to do first. Okay, here's what you have to do next, right? And it's like, drink your water, get out in the sun, move your body. And it's all these very simple, drink some greens. And it's got these very simple things that they need to do, because if they don't, I don't care what herb or what nutrient protocol or what lab test results you read and then give them stuff for, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So no, it's not too little, because sometimes you give them that little and they come back and they're overwhelmed already. Yeah. And I know for us, and I know we're cognizant of this, you are being careful with their budget and you want to make sure you give them value and you don't want this to take 8 months when it can be done in 8 weeks. But the reality is it needs to take 8 months sometimes. Right. And that's what we're finding with ERC, and people come back again because they still haven't mastered it all. Right. And they just, I'm a little further along and a little further along and a little further along. So don't ever be afraid to do your
biggest. The biggest challenge is what you just hit on, that I am so concerned about their budget. And yet it takes time for these programs that have years and decades in the creation to be reversed. And I don't want to I don't want them to feel like they're not getting quote
value unquote, for their money, more. Right? Yeah, exactly. But you know what? You've got to, that's a thing to get over. So that's a mindset thing. That's something for you to work on. But on the other hand, is it better to overwhelm them with like, here's 20 things to do than to underwhelm them and have them actually do it? Right. And the beauty of being, you know, a practitioner and knowing how the body works and all is being able to look at that person and understand using your knowledge, but also your intuition, what's going to move the needle. Because as soon as they move the needle, that's when they're like, okay, what's next? When the needle moves and they feel better, they feel more clear. And, you know, drinking water for some of them, like, you know, mental clarity and dehydration hand in hand, right? And if suddenly they're drinking water and they're like, well, I woke up and I'm this. And I've had people like, oh my God, I just did your, oh, it was with like heart math, right? I just teach them a heart math thing. And that was it, because it was pre-work before we got into the program. And they're like, I lost weight, I have more energy. And all I'm doing is this breathing thing you talked me about, right? So it's so, so valuable, and we should never underestimate that, because if we give them too much, they're going to get overwhelmed and they're not going to get the results, right? And we always start that. And I've set it up in ERC this year, so if they've already done it, they're seeing it right there on the page. They go, yep, check, check, check. They don't even have to open the box to learn the details, right? And then they go, oh, I'm not doing that one. Click, let me learn more about how to do it. Right? So if you can set that up, and if you want me to share my screen and show you, I'm so excited about this new member thing, because it's really.
Yes. Share.
Okay. And feel free to, you know, steal my.
We always like show and tell.
Whoops. What happened? Oh, that's not the way. I'm in the wrong one. Let me, yeah. Feel free to model it. Don't steal my content, obviously, but I'm giving you permission to do something similar in however your way of doing it is. So let me go to, and we've rearranged a lot of stuff on the page. So if I go to the Empowered Self-Care Lab, I'm just going to click it.
I'm happy to see I'm not the only person that has like 50 windows open at the same time.
Oh God, this is light for me. So what I've done is, you know, I give them like they're getting in a program, so they have to get organized, right? And we have access to stuff. But then it's like, okay, set the stage for true healing is what I call this section. Start the transforming stress audios. Number one, right? This is where I teach them how to do heart math activities. Number two, clarify your values, connect to your why, set your goals. I'm not sending them to one page where they get overwhelmed. I actually separated it out, right? And I reinforce in, there's a handbook that goes with this. And in the handbook, I'm going to reinforce why the people that get the best results are the people that are in touch with this. So that's their first, set the stage and then begin to adopt healthy habits. I can't go in and tell them how to clean their microbiome up and identify which probiotics they should be on until I get them doing some of this stuff, right? Drink your water, get out in the sun, go to bed, get moving, all the basic stuff, green it up, reduce the toxic load. That's when I start to talk to them about cleaning products and all that. Have fun and adopt digestion. So this is real basic stuff in the digestion eating, enhancing eating strategies. Chew your food, breathe between bites, do a little breathing and appreciation before you start. Like all the basic stuff. If your gal isn't doing all this stuff, you work this stuff and she's going to see changes right away.
Are those from the pillars?
These are not even from the pillar. It's like excerpts from the pillars, but these are habits. They just like it's doing things right away. Mm-hmm. And then I have an elimination diet that hangs. I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to put that. So it's just hanging out there because that's extensive. And that's something we're going to take them through. And then discover your imbalances. And that's where we get into some of that stuff. I have them do some basic stuff, but then here's the pillars. Education and empowerment, you know, so each of these goes into more detail. So if they're really still having trouble, after they do all that, they're doing their assessment. They're going, oh, I'm still screwed up on fun. Let me go see what else she has to say for fun. Oh, my sleep is still not good. Let me go deeper with sleep. They can skip these if they've done the first ones, right, to keep it simple. Diet has been a biggie. And the diet, we have so much stuff in that piece that people don't even know we have it. So what I did was I rearranged it so that when I click here, I've organized all the stuff we have to do with diet and nutrition. Here's all the different things you have for food and menu planning. Here's stuff with healing with food, eating for blood sugar, eating for bone, eating for dental health, etc. Here's all the stuff for balancing your nutrients. Take these quizzes and then go listen to this. So I've organized it in such a way that's making sense, and there'll be a handbook that describes it. So it's just like all these refinements. But just to get back to the basics, the basics, the basics. I'm going to be fitzing around with the food piece to make it more of a do this first, then do this, then do this. But for now, that's what we've got.
Where is that first page under?
If you go in, let's see, NEPT, it should be, yeah, I have to look, let me just look real quick, because it's definitely shared with NEPT, but it's not linked from this page, because this page is kind of was done a month ago. So if I go here and I go to the edit, and I'll make sure it is, it might be just on the drop down, on the main drop down, as opposed to under ERC. Those of you who are coaches this year, it'll probably be under the ERC because you have access to all of those pages. Let's see. Empowered. It's just, okay. It's going to tell me in a minute if you guys in ERC were, oh, it doesn't. Oh, wow. Whoops. NEPT. I think I just didn't do it yet because, whoops, okay, NEPT, I think I hadn't because of what we're not finished all the content yet, but ERC, current, and then FNC, okay, apply settings. So where it will show up for you. It will show up to you in a couple of places and I'll show you where.
Okay.
Hello, this is Janet calling in from a telephone.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, everyone. My computer's not working, so I can't see what you're referring to. Is there a way for me to capture, yep, once the call is, yep, over, capture, yep, the session?
Recording. Yep, there'll be a recording of this session that will be posted to the member site. And we always post the chat log and the video. It takes like 24 to 48 hours because we have to get the team to download it from Zoom. But yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so this Empowered Self-Care Lab page, that will be available to the IRS PT students?
No. It will not. It will only be available if you're in NEPT. Are you in NEPT, Janet? Yeah.
It's only, well, I need to talk to either you or Claudia after the call and discuss with you what's the best thing for me to do at this point.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, IRSPT doesn't get all this. NEPT does because you've got the whole shebang. So mm-hmm. You'll see this on the front page. So Michelle, this is where you'll see it. One place is right here, Empowered Self-Care. And then the nutrition one is a separate one here, Body Freedom Nutrition Lab. And then if you go to any of these programs, like say you just click on your NEPT stuff, this is all the stuff that's in the personal health that all people in NEPT get, because we want you to take care of you. I'm going to be rearranging this page now that I've come up with this other schema. But for now, it looks like this. But any place on the site, if you click on programs, what you'll see, instead of seeing Empowered Healthcare under ERC, you're going to see it on this main. It'll just say Empowered Self-Care. Okay? And, you know, forgive us if there's some links that don't quite allow you to get there. We're going to have somebody on the team going through it over the next couple of days to make sure all the pages have the right permissions for everybody. But yeah, Janet, if you want to hang on at the end of this, we can talk and talk about where you're at. Because I thought you had signed up for NEPT back in June, but maybe you hadn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yes, I did sign up back in June, but there have been major interruptions.
Okay, so you want to talk about when you want to get started and how to get started. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. Okay, cool. Does that help, Michelle? I know it was a simple question, but, you know, and I gave you a comment.
Yeah, it helped tremendously. Now, with the water, if you have somebody that has that issue with the incontinence, how do you balance that out with the need to increase the water? But they're afraid of, you know, drinking too much water, especially at nighttime.
Little sips throughout the day. I mean, if it's incontinence, that's not like, you know, jumping incontinence or anything like that, then you have to make sure that they drink and they go to the bathroom a lot so that they don't wait till they get the urge, that they have a schedule during which they're like, okay, I'm drinking now. And then within 45 minutes, I'm going to go to the bathroom, whether I feel the need to or not. So you can actually, that would be very helpful to create a drink pee schedule for them. Right? I mean, nobody's doing it, right? A little spreadsheet that says, you know, you drink now, you have this much based on their size, right? 8 ounces, 4 ounces, whatever you think might work. And then when they're going to pee. Now, if somebody has an incontinence problem and they're working a full-time job where they don't have breaks, you know, that presents another problem, right? But they've got to learn to prioritize their health. And if they're not allowed to take breaks to pee, then they need to get a medical letter that says, I have bladder incontinence or I have this condition and I need to have breaks every whatever it is, hour and a half or 2 hours to use the restroom. They can't deny that. I mean, that would be like against the Disabilities Act or, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that, you know, a lot of ways they could get around that. People, here's the thing that I think we can do for people in addition to providing health advice and nutrition advice is that we can empower them to stand up for their needs. Because so many people are intimidated by power and authority. And what do most medical doctors, nurse practitioners do? They wield their power. Like, I know what's best for you, and this is what it is. They do that at work, right? They allow themselves to be abused, you know, not hit or anything, but abused. And they allow themselves to be intimidated. And we can help them to stand up for themselves. And we can be their advocates so that we teach them to be the advocate for themselves. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's a powerful thing. And it's worth the price of admission. You have them in a program where they're paying you for 3 months of coaching. You better believe that anything you can do to empower them to take charge is worth it, because so many of them are just, right? And we love see that. That.
Especially with our senior citizens, because like I said, this little old lady, we actually had her do a stool test because she kept on saying, you know, I think I have this, I think I have that. And the doctors weren't listening to her. And so I said, you know what, we'll do the test ourselves. And we did the test. And when she took it in and she just had this release, she's like, they finally listened to me. They finally listened to me. And it was just so heartwarming, you know, to see that sense that she was finally being heard, that she wasn't the loony old kook, you know, right. Making up right. Stuff.
Yeah, and that's so empowering. So you empowered her to get evidence that she could do. If she doesn't have evidence, but she knows she pees, you know, she needs to pee every 2 hours or she wets her pants, right? That's something she needs to be able to stand up to. Authority is not meant to be obeyed blindly. And I taught my kids that from the time they were little, which to my own detriment was like, why they were so rebellious. I'm like, Mom, why are you making me do that? That doesn't make sense, right? But they do that at school, right? And my son got sent to the principal's office once when his very first year in public school. And he got sent to the principal's office because he didn't want to turn in. He'd lost his homework the first night, didn't do the homework the first night. And the teacher said, oh, well, you have to turn it in tomorrow, but you got a zero on it. And you have to turn it in tomorrow. And he said, am I going to get credit for it if I turn it in tomorrow? And she said, no, you already got a zero. So he said, so why do I want to turn it in tomorrow? And she said, well, because you have to. And he didn't show up. He showed up without his homework. He goes, I already got a zero. Let's move on. I'm going to move on to the next lesson. Why am I going to waste my time? And he got sent to the principal's office. And he, in his wiseness, at the end of their whatever they call it, the discipline that they're in there for 6 hours, missing class because of some stupid thing like that. So missing lessons. Yeah, to fill out this form that said, you know, what did you learn from this experience? And he wrote on the form, he goes, I learned that I need to blindly obey the adult in charge or I'm going to get in trouble. Right? That was it. And I thought when he told me that, I'm like, oh, God, they're going to call me. What kind of kid are you raising? No, they didn't say it. They either like, holy cow, who is this kid? Or they didn't read those things, you know, one or the other. But I never heard anything about it. And yeah, but I taught my kids that from real early on. So my kids won't let anybody get away with anything, which is good because they're not going to be little old ladies or men, as the case may be, that are being, you know, abused, really, mentally, emotionally abused. So yeah, that's one of the biggest things we can teach those people.
Yeah. Rita Marie, can I jump in? Can you hear me?
Carol. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an occupational therapist working in a little hospital with elders, and I get to talk to them a lot about hydration because I'm curious, a lot of urinary frequency. And what I want to say is there's different etiologies for that. Some of them are irritations, and if they clean up their diet a little bit, that goes away. Other is the pelvic bowl, all of those muscles that hold the pelvis can sometimes that can't be adjusted a lot, but posture is a big thing. And the interesting thing when I've studied, this isn't a specialty area of mine, but I've gone to enough continuing ed that I know a little bit about it from over the years. It's not just an older people's issue. It's younger people that sit in couch potato position a lot. And nobody talks about it. So this thing that you're talking about with empowering, it's like, well, no, we're not going to talk about it. And they don't know that anybody else has the problem, or that a lot of people have the problem. It's not just women either. But I will say that I do work with pelvic floor specialists, and that's a referral that can be made. And they do logs. They make it very concrete and measurable. So I loved it when you showed I have this much water in the morning. For some reason, 50 years ago, my grandma did that. There was, you know, she had her water out in the morning. And it was gone. She knew exactly what she had every day.
Right.
And then the log about, you know, how they're drinking and when they're peeing. And in the medical version, if you want to get super anal, they could probably do an INO, an intake and output. But, you know, because I know I've had two lady patients this week just tell me that they were dissed by their physicians. You know, and I'm sitting in there doing their morning routines with them, and this is what comes up when I just sit with them. And I'm going, okay, I'll poke the doctor and say, let's pay attention to this. But mainly they need the empowerment to bring it up themselves.
Yeah, to bring it up. And a lot of times they're embarrassed, and a lot of times it's that fear of authority. They've got the white coat, and I don't. And they've got the education, and I don't. And I think that's a really important thing that we need to be conscious of with our clients. And the other thing I want to say about incontinence too is we also have to look at estrogen levels, because low estrogen causes the sphincter to get loose. So that's another issue, right? So people who are low estrogen. But yeah, it's interesting, right? Thank you for sharing that from that perspective, because you see people from a different perspective than most of us are seeing people. Yeah, great. Super, thank you. You have a nice bird flipping around by you. I must be.
Oh, yeah. The only one I'm out in the park. Yeah.
That's nice. It's beautiful. Okay. Who else has questions, comments, successes, challenges, things you need help with? No?
Well, okay. I've got a question this time.
Okay. Good.
A friend came to me and said something, and I don't even know where to begin to tell her what to do. It's another therapist, and she's got all of us concerned, because when she sticks out her tongue, she has a fasciculating tongue. We showed it to our excellent diagnostician neurologist, and he's like, you will be tested immediately, because it's a clinical sign for ALS. Early enough that, you know, and she's going through the test, but she said, Carol, what blood test, because they're just going to do the allopathic stuff. And so she said, what else can I do? And what dietary changes would I recommend to just support it? She's already a whole food plant-based person. And I was maybe it's when it's people that are really close to me that I just kind of go brain dead.
Go brain dead, yeah. You know, so if she wasn't a plant-based whole food.
What kind of crumb was that, Carol? What kind
Say
of
what?
Fasciculate. Describe to her what a fasciculation of the tongue
so,
is.
So when she sticks out her tongue is, it's like in a little spasm. A fasciculation is just a little vibration. And it's only the left side that's doing this. So she sticks out her tongue and the right is quiet and the left is doing this little spasm thing. And she cannot control it. It's completely involutary. And it is every time she started to show all of us this about a month ago. And she didn't notice it. I can't remember how she figured, you know, it's just kind of like one of those odd things that one day you stick out your tongue and you go, what's that?
Why did that happen, right?
Why did that happen,
They do tongue scraping in the morning. I've read about tongue scraping. I mean,
It could have been something that could have been something. And so she is whole food plant-based. And I would say there's been a lot of stress this year that has been going on. But
there's a number of things I would start with. Like here's the thing. People come in and proudly say I'm whole food plant-based and think that they are the perfect diet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they are. So whole food plant-based people will eat. They don't realize flour is not a whole food. It's a refined food. So they may be eating flour. They may have some blood sugar imbalances up and down. They may be on gluten, and gluten, can be problematic. We know that gluten affects the brain. So I would be looking at all the, like, look at the diet first and show her, have her do a 3-day diet diary, have her do something like Chronometer. So you can actually see the nutrients that she's taking in and you'll see, wow, there's an imbalance here, there's an imbalance there, et cetera. I'm sorry, I'm not having a problem with balance. I'm just standing here in tree pose because that's what I like to do when I'm working. And I lost my balance a second, right? So I thought, they must think I'm weird. I'm falling off to the side. Am I drunk? No, I'm standing in tree pose and I lost my balance. So I would do that because they say, you know, it could be they're on this beautiful whole food plant-based diet. Many people on whole food plant-based diets don't get enough greens. They don't get enough cruciferous. They don't get enough of their nutrients because they're just focusing on grains and beans, right? Maybe bread and, you know, fake soy cheese. Well, that might not be considered whole food plant-based, but for some they do consider getting soy cheese to be like, you know, the be all and the end all of being on a plant-based diet. So it's really never take I'm on an X diet at face value. I'm on a macrobiotic diet. I'm on an Ayurvedic plan that's for the dosha of Pitta or whatever. You got to get detailed with it because you've got to look at the nutrient density. You've got to look at the balance. And also, I see a lot of folks who do a whole food plant-based diet and they just aggravate their insulin resistance because they're eating a ton of fruit, they're eating a ton of bread, they're eating all the grain, and they're not getting enough of that. So starting there and really helping her to balance nutrients, right? How are her B vitamins doing? How's her essential fatty acid intakes? Some people who do the whole food plant-based, they do the no oil, no salt, no sugar, which is fine, but they take it to mean low fat. So they're not doing any nuts or seeds or avocado or coconut, and they're missing out on some of their essential fats. So their omega-6-3 balance is another thing to look at, because anything like any kind of neurologic conditions have some inflammation. Neuroinflammation is a big part of it. So you want to look at omega-3-6 balance, really important piece. And there's more. I think I don't know what module you're in, but module 5 or 6, there's a whole thing on fat.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in 4.
Okay, good. You have a little ways to go. You'll get there.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, and then from a testing perspective, you know, you look at that, and if that all is like, whoa, she's on this amazing diet and she's meditating every day, the kinds of tests I would do would be to get at those imbalances, right? I would be doing like maybe an oat test or a NutriVal test, you know, and if there's some suspicion of hormones or gut, but those are two tests that might really give you some clue as to nutrient imbalances that might be going on that could contribute.
Okay, what about
heavy metal tests for this particular problem?
Heavy metal? I mean, certainly heavy metals. It's not my first step, right? Mm-hmm. I always like to go to, because everybody's exposed to that stuff, right? So even if she has heavy metal exposure, you still want to balance the basics. So I always start with those basic pieces because we can get caught up in a heavy metals test and a toxic mineral metal, a toxic, the toxic test, what do they call it from Great Plains? The toxins testing, 172 toxins. Yeah, most likely people are going to show up with that, but you clean up, you got to clean up first. You can't just jump into heavy metals, right? But yeah, it's a good idea, but I would say that that wouldn't be my stage one.
Yeah, but I was thinking maybe there is maybe a problem with silver fillings or, you know, mercury or something.
Right. And that's all the basic. The mouth. Yeah. Right. That's everything. And we teach that in module three, right? The whole really detailed. So, right. Doing that detailed history, right? Because you're going to know, do they have root canals? Do they have all that? And if they do, then that heavy metal might bump up. But based on the little bit of history I have right now, but I think you, Carol, is getting that full and doing that full history and asking about exposures and possible mold and EMFs and dental and all of that stuff. That's why I spend so much time in that module teaching about how we do a history, because people miss it. I mean, people, doctors have been practiced forever. They jump right in, let's run this test. They don't spend the time to do a thorough history. And it doesn't have to take 4 hours to do if you use some forms, but you should at least be doing an hour and a half with that person that first time you're with them to get as much information, because you know, they may be filling something out and they're going to forget. And you say one thing, well, tell me about that when your Aunt Martha came to visit with her 14 cats. You know, did you, you know, what happened? And then you find out that, you know, Aunt Martha lived in a room with all these cats and the cat litter, and you were playing in it because you were a little kid. I mean, there's, you know, and that's a stupid example. I just came to my mind, but those are the kinds of things that we need to be able to get at. I mean, I found one person who has had all these neurologic things, and I started asking her about the timeline, and it turned out that, you know, it was after her mother died, and then she was shipped off to a grandmother, and then the grandmother was, and it was just all this loss, right? It was all this early loss that I was like, oh. And that's when she started having these issues, right? But nobody'd ever asked her about that before. Nobody'd ever asked her. So really be thorough in your history. And yes, Emanuela, if she has dental fillings, if she has exposures to toxic metals, if she used to, you know, play in a place where there were toxic metals, she told you about how she loved it when she was a kid and the thermometer broke and she'd try to catch the mercury with her hands. You know, I can't remember doing that. I remember that the thermometer broke and I thought it was so cool. There were little balls and you try to pick one up and it would escape you. And I thought that was fun when I was a kid, now that I know better. But all those little things, right? Those exposures are super important. Thank you. Good question. Anybody else? Questions, comments, successes, struggles? What do you guys want to learn more about? Like, I put that out in the Facebook group today. I'm going to do a challenge, right? A 5-day challenge. I'm like, what do you want to like commit to? And at the end of 5 days, be able to say, ha, I made travel. I made, you know, progress. Go ahead, Michelle.
I had a question about the acid-based terrain, especially with the usage of masks at this point in time. And how does that affect the, from what I'm perceiving, the increase in CO2 and the decrease in oxygen, and how does that relate to the metabolic acidosis and things of that nature that show up in the blood chem?
I have not done a correlation. It'd be very curious to see somebody who's wearing a mask all day, like somebody works in a restaurant or healthcare worker who's wearing a mask all day, to measure it and see about their CO2 and their standard blood panel. So I don't know. But theoretically, I would think that breathing in more CO2 and less oxygen is going to have an impact. And, you know, I'm a fan of wearing masks when you're in a place where you might expose somebody and you might be sick, whether it's COVID or something else, right? If you have the flu, if you have the measles, whatever. But you shouldn't be wearing masks all day. I mean, that's kind of crazy. And so people need to have breaks where they get them off. So it could be really, you know, and kids going to school and wearing a mask all day, I mean, that can be really damaging, right? So I think that it could. I mean, theoretically, I would expect to see the CO2 on the blood test go up. I would expect to see maybe the zinc go down, because zinc is involved in so many of those processes. And certainly the pH paper is an easy way to check. You know, you check.
How is the zinc interrelated?
Because it's so important at it's important in so many different places, but I think it just came to me and I have to think it through, but that's what came out of my mouth. So the zinc, I think, is related to so many detox pathways and reactions, and the stomach acid and all this, you know, related to keeping that. So that's where I would say the zinc. And I, like I said, I just went intuitively, zinc came out of my mouth. But if I think about it, zinc is so important for so many of those reactions.
Well, I was going through some of Dr. Weatherby's stuff on acid-based terrain, and he was also correlating it to the kidneys.
And
and the detriment to the kidneys because they start to overwork.
That's right.
The buffering with the CO2.
And it would affect bone as well. So if the blood is becoming more acid, the body's going to try to make that right? So ammonia levels could go up. So you could check those in the blood. But also, you know, I don't know that it would have an effect on glomerular filtration rate, but certainly the electrolytes could be shifted in a way that's not positive. But you said something about... So bone, it can affect on bone, because as we try to alkalize, the natural reaction when the blood gets more alkaline, acid, is we got to keep it in the alkaline environment. So we steal alkaline minerals from wherever we can get them. And what is the best repository but bone? So, I mean, long-term, it's potentially, if somebody's doing that long-term year after year, that they could develop osteopenia at a very young age, younger than we would expect, you know, due to the natural estrogen change.
Because he was saying that a lot of people have the misconception that when you have the metabolic acidosis, that, you know, you start thinking about your buffering minerals and all that kind of stuff. But he said 90% of it is actually respiration.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So he's like, all these people drinking alkaline water and this and that and Tarawat. He's like, it's respiration. 90% of what keeps our blood at a perfect pH is respiration.
Yeah, and that's true. That's true. It's because respiratory, and we're not taught that. So you teach heart math to people. You teach, you know, deep breathing, and yeah, it's so important. If you watch people, just go around and watch how people breathe. You're gonna see that elevation in the neck and chest, as opposed to inflation in the belly. So teaching people, that's another one of those basics. Basics thing. I'm going to have to add breathe, you know, learn to breathe properly, and add a whole section on breathing properly, right? Separate from the heart math and the stress stuff, but just breathe, right? Breathe. That would be a perfect one of those lessons. Breathe. So what? Mm-hmm. Breathe. Of course I'm breathing, but are you breathing right? Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point.
Do you have in your self-testing place, he does the respiration test in terms of how long you can hold your breath?
I don't think I do. I like that. Butenko Breathing does a lot of that, where how long can you hold it? There's a really good book that I was thinking about doing a webinar on. Love it. Let me find it. It was just I think it's called The Oxygen Advantage. Let me find it. I think it's Oxygen. OXY. And he talked a lot about, The Oxygen Advantage, Patrick McGowan. Excellent book. And talking about, like, as you're exercising, to pay attention, and mouth breathing versus nose breathing, and talks about those, and he has some of those tests. Thank you for the reminder of that. I'm going to look into that. Oxygen Advantage. I listen to these things as I run, and then I don't go back and pull out the data from the books, and that's what I want to do. Yeah, it's a very good one. Yeah, and that's something people can learn. And he gives you exercises. That's why I love the book. He gives you exercises. So if you are lower than whatever the threshold is, that how do you do these things and then retest yourself to see that you're improving? And he gives some really good exercises in there. Yeah, and especially if you are working with seniors, that's a good place to do it, because They're like,
yep.
Right? Yeah. Good question. Oh, somebody, some chat in the tie. So that bladder incontinence is a common, okay, Carol. That's what you had said, yeah. Emmanuel, actually, we all know about it. In Europe, we're now getting commercials for adult pads for both women of all ages and men. Yeah, yeah. So it's getting to be more and more of a problem. And yeah, like Carol said, it could be a food thing. It could be interstitial cystitis where the lining of the bladder is problematic. If you have somebody who has a leaky gut, they're likely to have a leaky brain and a leaky bladder. And so the urine leaks into the interstitial space. So instead of staying in the bladder, getting into the wall, which causes irritation to those nerves. And then they have that urge that they can't, you know, they can't escape. And then there's the estrogen because of the, what it does to the, you know, the, what do you call it? The sphincter. Yeah. It is getting to be more and more of a problem, and it used to be just old people, but not anymore.
I also think exercise can be an aggravating, because I don't know if you noticed, like the very famous type of exercise that's around with the really heavy weights and like CrossFit. And the CrossFit, what do you call it, Olympics or something, there was a video, they were showing these women really heavy weights, and then they were stopping. Basically, there was a paddle between their legs on the ground.
Aww, wow.
And they were saying, oh, that's normal for them because of all the major effort. And it's not normal. It may be common for them because of what they're doing, but certainly I wouldn't expect a 30-year-old to produce a paddle between their legs and just, you know, from exercise.
No.
I did a few courses on a certain technique to help the pelvic floor, to reduce the pressure on the pelvic floor, and kind of breathing, which is more like thoracic and like almost like creating a suction so that it pulls up the pelvic floor. And apparently there is some research where they inserted a probe into someone to see what kind of pressure you get, intra-abdominal pressure you get from pulling or pushing exercises. So you can actually take that into consideration in the exercise programming. But I mean, I think, yes, definitely. If, for example, some exercises we know can cause problems for the pelvic floor, like trampolining.
Yeah.
You know, jumping, like for example, volleyball, basketball, repeatedly jumping kind of thing, are apparently at the top of the list for potential problems with the pelvic floor.
Is the trampoline more of a problem after they've developed an incontinence issue versus a cause of it? I would be curious.
Well, this was the trampoline, you know, the gymnastics trampoline. It wasn't the little one.
Oh, not the little rebounder trampoline.
No, there was the trampoline.
Doing those heavy, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I mean, I remember that from the course that that was explained in that way. Can I just ask you a quick question? We just had a case today, a 37-year-old guy with Down syndrome. He's been put on some medication, aripiprazole, for, you know, no one really knows, but because it was a little bit agitated and possibly on the bipolar spectrum. Anyway, so he's been given this medication, but the problem is this morning his blood pressure is recently he's had a low blood pressure, and this morning it looked good, but when we measured the blood pressure, he had 100/45.
Yeah, wow.
So their systolic blood pressure was really low, and we were wondering, it was 45-41?
Come?
Cristiano, 45-41. So we were wondering whether there was almost like a medical emergency, or whether, because it's possibly, according to the medication information, there should be only a drop of between 6 and 9 points. Yeah. So still, even with that, taking that into consideration, it still seems to be quite a low blood pressure.
That seems low. I don't know. You know, it's on the verge of being a medical emergency. Yeah. I think that he's probably very lightheaded at that point, difficulty with standing up quickly. So I would say it's probably a side effect of the medication if it's known to produce a certain amount. And somebody with Down syndrome, they have very different physiology, so they may be more sensitive to that. And the other thing, I mean, temporarily, you can always give them some licorice root tincture to bring the blood pressure up, but it should be looked at, and the dose of the medication should be looked at. So I would definitely have them revisit their doctor.
Yeah, this is after giving him half the
medication. Half of it, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I don't know the mechanism. I'm always a big fan of when you have somebody on a medication and you're trying to figure out what happened, is to look up the mechanism of action of that medication. What pathways is it affecting? You know, is it affecting a certain pathway related to electrolytes? You know, like, is it affecting a neurotransmitter pathway? Where in the body is it working? And then how might it be causing that effect? Is it
the other thing I noticed, talking about hydration again, was that the bottle of water I prepared for him, he had not drank any since last night. So he was like, what's this bottle doing here? You haven't been drinking. So obviously, that's the first thing I did when we found this.
You said he's agitated? He's been agitated? And that's
why he was agitated before. Now it's actually his mood is much better than I
remember. Well, it's probably better, but if it was a common, I'm wondering if it's a sedative kind of a thing.
It is a sedative.
Which is lowering his
adrenal. It's a slightly central nervous system depressant, I think.
Has he been peeing more? Have you noticed? Is anybody able to? Because I would wonder, is there an effect on aldosterone or antidiuretic hormone or any of those kinds of things that would affect? So he may be peeing away the liquid, and then not having the knowledge to replace it. So there's a number of those things. If those things are the case, then certainly licorice could help. But that's just a Band-Aid, right? At this point, you need to get him to get checked.
Yes.
That's too low.
All the medications seem to have lots of side effects, and
that's what they do. I mean, and that's why we want to help you. That's why understanding the mechanism of any medication. So you could think about what food, what herb, what nutrient pathways might be involved with that. Mihaela, who's one of our students in NEPT, she's a pharmacist, and she studies a lot of that, the drug-nutrient interactions. So every drug has some sort of interaction with nutrients, and what nutrients is it impacting? So that then if somebody's put on a drug, then what do you need to do to help to prevent the negative side effects of that drug-nutrient interaction?
Now, you mean like statins and the COQ10, something like that? Statins, COQ10,
Yeah, like all of that, but there's a lot more than that. She just started a really cool Facebook group called Drug-Nutrient Interactions, and I highly recommend all of you join it. She's doing some Facebook Lives lately, and she's a really great resource for all of us in that regard.
That's
people good. Are going to be on meds when we see them. And, you know, her big thing is somebody goes on a med for one particular problem. And that problem might be resulting from bad nutrition, nutrient imbalances, et cetera. They're put on this medication, and then that causes a depletion of vitamin C or CoQ10 or whatever else. And so then they're put on another medication for that. And then that causes, and the next thing you knew is the standard polypharmacy where people over 60, most people over 60 are going to be on 5 or 6 medications. Most people over 50 are on a couple, right? And so the polypharmacy is the problem, because it just gets this one thing on top of the other. And it really becomes a problem because they may not be seeing one doctor that's coordinating all of it. They're seeing multiple specialists. And what happens with that is they're not talking to each other, and they're not really aware, cognizant that they're on these other medications. And of course, they're not aware of the nutrient interactions as well.
And even if I may add to that, they don't tell you, because part of that empowerment is asking your doctor what nutrients, like probiotics for when you're on an antibiotic. And I know one of my grandchildren were on an antibiotic, and I told my son, go get some probiotics, some liquids, you know, for the toddler. And he said, well, how come the doctor didn't tell me that? And I said, because you didn't ask. So when they went back for the follow-up visit, he said, my mom said I should be taking probiotics, you know, with these antibiotics. And she said, of course, that's a great idea. And he looked at her and said, well, why didn't you tell me that? And she said, well, you didn't ask, and I have 20 patients to see. Yeah. So this is where, you know, like you were saying at the beginning, we are in charge of our health, and if we don't ask or do our own research to see what the consequences are, I mean, I can't believe how many people are on statin drugs and don't know that their CoQ10 is robbed, or they're on metformin and their B12 is robbed.
Right. They don't get it, right? They're not told. And if they, you know, they're given this long insert, and the inserts just don't say it. They tell them how they might have convulsions or, you know, incontinence and whatever else. If you tell them, you might affect your vitamin C. Women are not told, girls, teenagers who go on birth control pills, mm-hmm. about all the B vitamins, especially B6, vitamin C, zinc, magnesium, probiotics, and a whole host of others. They're not told, you better go out and take care of this. And plus, they're eating crappy diets at that age. And so that's why they get sick from it. And that's why, you know, you can avoid the high risk things with birth control pills, like thromboses, right, and heart stuff, if you take care of the nutrients, right, and you take care of that and you protect them. So yeah, thank you. Good questions. This is a great discussion today. We're going all over the map. Who else? Anybody else? Great. All right. If there's nothing else, I thank you for being here. If you wouldn't mind going to the Facebook group and posting if there's specific stuff. I'm just trying to think of what I find is challenges are really amazing, and it gets people to actually do something because it's only 5 days that they maybe have been putting off or not doing. So I've done it for the client side, but I haven't done it on the practitioner side. And I'm at a loss for what would really get you, like, what are you trying to do that you would like to know more about that you'll stick with for 5 days and then create some new habits or some new processes in your businesses? Yeah.
Why do you pick 5 days? Because I just tried to do Trisha Nelson's 5-day challenge. I've tried to do the Canva thing from Nikki for 5 days, and 3 days worked. And then I get so busy with other things, it's hard to do.
Well, you know, a friend of mine who studied this came up with, if you do a 7-day challenge, it's too long. Some people do 10 days, 7 days, 14 days. And that 3 is really sometimes just too short to see a result.
Okay.
And so 5, you know, you just say, okay, it's 5 days out of my life. I'm good, just going to do this. So yeah, 5-3 is like, yeah, you drop off, and then what good is it? If you dropped off after 3 days, you're not going to continue it 2 weeks later. So I want to create some new habits. I had people who did the keto challenge I did last year. It was a 5-day challenge, and they just kept going for months because they wanted to continue to lose the weight. I did a 5-day fasting with food challenge, and I had to stop people and tell them not to keep doing that because it was on their metabolism, but just do it 5 days out of the month because it's a short enough period. It's less than a week that you can do it. And that's what, you know, a lot of different studies have shown, is that you get the best compliance and the best results. Sure, I can do a 1-day challenge. Everybody can do that. Then the next day they're back to their old stuff, right? So 5 days seems to be the way.
Anyway, that's research.
That's it. Yeah. So if you guys have ideas, thoughts on that, just post it in the Facebook group, because I want to create one for practitioners. Like, what is it that you're stuck on? Is it, you know, is it clinical stuff? Is it marketing stuff? Is it positioning stuff? Is it enrolling new clients? Is it, you know, delivery of services? What is it that you're stuck on? And put it in there, and I'll help. Okay. Have a great rest of the day, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, wait. Is that
Janet?
Janet, you're still there, right? I'll talk to you. Give me a second. Let me just jot down your number and I'll just call you.
I'm leaving.
It's right there. It's 263-0674.
Correct.
Okay. I'll call you right back. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.